listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Monday. We call it Aftermath Monday. Everything happened over the weekend. What does it all mean? 200 FSR stations across this great nation, 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. We got a full house. Pros who know, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will give you the Vegas truth. Gave you a lot of truth. Last week, we're going to take a victory lap or two for sure. You can't have pros, though, without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, let's get the victory lap started early on. It was you on Straight Outta Vegas before the weekend who called the Dallas Cowboys over the L.A. Rams, and it was a wipeout indeed from the Jerry Dome. Dallas 44-21 over L.A.
Well, listen, I don't want to talk about this myself, but, well, let's just do this. By the way, quickly, and I can make it quick. I gave Colin Cowherd the biggest disagreement of the decade. He had the Rams, biggest disagreement of the decade. I love the Cowboys. Love them. And it's simple. Line opened up Dallas -3. Everyone go, oh, Dallas hasn't won. Ah, okay, look at the stats. Stats haven't changed. Dallas is at least as good as the Rams. This line should be 3, and it's not. We're getting points. So, best bet, let's just call it the month for me. No sure things, remember, guys. Big bet, though, Cowboys plus the points from RJ.
And, you know, I didn't want to talk about that, so we had the recording do it. But it is not only fun and profitable, there's a great teaching moment here. Because what I did in that handicap was zero in on, to me, the crux of the game, the decision you had to make as a handicapper. Do you trust the wins and losses, or do you trust the stats? Now, Fez, you're usually a stats guy. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But somehow, some way, occasionally, and I still have not been able to figure out when this is, you'll just throw the stats out. And you actually liked the Rams in this game, if I recall.
No, I was neutral.
Is that the way you remember it, Brad?
I bet you on the podcast with the Rams.
So well,
that means I owe
like
you a lot of money.
Hold on. I know you had like the Rams. Hold on. He pulls out his, like, he has 3,000 and hundreds. He just pulls it out. But Fez, let's just agree to this. A typical stats first, stats are preeminent. They tell the truth guy would have loved the Cowboys.
Absolutely. Because
you didn't love the Cowboys.
I did not. That eye test. I got in trouble with that eye test worrying about internally the Cowboys. And let's face it, you spot on.
Worry about internally? What do you mean? Like you had some real insight into what was going on in the locker room?
No insight.
But somehow that dictated. And that's the lesson, guys. Listen, Cowboys could have lost that game by 30. In fact, I think it was more likely the Cowboys get blown out in that game than then blow out the Rams. I just thought the Cowboys had value. We don't bet teams, we bet numbers. And when we say numbers, we're talking about point spreads here, but how do you decide which team to bet? And this, to me, is one of the great insights of football handicapping. And again, you can lose a lot, many games in a row with this approach. This is not like, oh, it's a sure, there are no sure things, as I said even then. Every game, even the best of games, is going to lose more than 40% of the time. Most more than 45. But there's only 16 games. I don't believe Seattle is very good. I mean, I think they're a 9-7 level team. I really do. But they are now the number one seed in the NFC. I don't think Green Bay is very good. And they have the inside track for the number two. I think that's where they are right now, right, Brian?
Yep.
So literally, I think Saints are better than both of them. What do you think, Fez?
Agree strongly. I've got Seattle, my number eight team. Green Bay, get this, RJ, my number 12 team currently in my ratings.
I would tend to agree with that. Wow, 12. So who's 11?
Houston.
Houston's better. Who's 10?
Tennessee.
So you have Tennessee better than Green Bay.
Yes.
And Tennessee's on the outside looking in, playoff hunt-wise. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I would take Minnesota, even money, neutral field, especially if the game were at 1 o'clock. But let's just say we aren't worried about Cousins and his propensities at 1 versus other times. I would take Minnesota, even money, over Seattle all day. Fez?
Oh, absolutely. And coincidentally, Minnesota's playing Green Bay this Monday night. Minnesota is laying 4.5. So the markets are saying Minnesota is better than Green Bay.
Now, that's beautiful. Sometimes great on topic, contextually relevant insight from Steve Fezzik is the idea that we don't have to speculate. This game is where? In Minnesota?
Yes.
Let's give them 3.5 for home. They're one of the better, you know, maybe the fifth or sixth best home field, Minnesota. Right. And so let's say the line would be 3.5 if the market judged these teams as even, Green Bay and Minnesota. And the line is
4.5.
You think it's going down?
No.
I don't think so. It could. I don't think so. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers in Vegas. So last week we started a new trend, and this is a trend or a new feature, and we're going to do it every Thursday, I think, the Vegas truth, which is the marketplace is telling us something. You got to know where to look, got to know how to translate it. And what we told you was the market doesn't think Green Bay is very good. And you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, they were, what was the line? 4.5 against the Bears?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Green Bay has maybe the best home field in the NFL. They're worth 4. So they were saying the Bears and the Packers are even teams. Even teams. Bears won. They've been winning a disproportionate number of these games. A lot of kind of tight lines at home. They've been winning 7 or 1 loss only at home this year. Here's the crux of it. It's easy to say this when you think a team who's 10-6 should be 11-5 or maybe 9-7. It's when a team is the number one seed in the NFC like Seattle and you think they're barely better than an average team. That's when it gets hard to trust the stats. It's like, I'll trust it. It's like when you back up a car and you've got that camera in the back. I trust that camera.
Yeah.
But when I feel like there's really high stakes, I'll turn my head just to make sure. And the reality is there is no way to double check. The stats said Dallas is, you know, quite frankly, better than Seattle. Right, Fez?
Yes.
Better than Green Bay. Forget Minnesota. They a 7 or 6-7 Dallas team entering this weekend's games statistically was clearly better, not only than the Rams, but better than Seattle, better than Green Bay.
Yes.
And most people would think that's ludicrous. Even the betting market thought that was ludicrous in a way by making the Rams favorite. Would that close? 1.5?
Yes.
So they said Rams were 4.5 points better than Dallas. Line would have been 7.5 if the game were in L.A. and Dallas was the better team. The trick is what stats matter, and we talk about that every day. And the second trick is when are the stats not fully telling? Well, injuries. Teams can be fundamentally different at different points of the year. Also, mindset. We'll probably get to this Jacksonville story, but the it looked like Jacksonville gave up on some games in the second half, and now all of a sudden there's been some tumult, some turmoil internally. Makes you wonder how much of this is, hey, I'm going to make a business decision because we're down 21 and these guys don't care about me. Coughlin doesn't care about me. If that were the mentality, then the stats don't tell the story. But if the stats you're referencing are the right ones and the stats you're referencing are applicable to the current situation, that's the key, then you gotta trust them. You gotta. Doesn't mean you can't pass. You can say there's something, my gut just doesn't feel right here. That's fine. But if your gut is almost always going with the one loss record as having more truth than it should really be given credit for, then you probably got to wean yourself off of that. And Fez, you're as good as anyone, but let's admit there was no rhyme. I mean, on our pod, I asked you, why don't the stats matter here? And there was a lot of vague talk. There was no reason. And to me, you could have looked stupid betting on Dallas. In fact, when I gave the pick out everywhere, it was like, oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I could have looked crazy. Got to be willing to look crazy and stupid if you want to bet the contrarian bets. Contrarian bets are where the value is. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. So just wrapping up this game, Fez, I mean, they got back to Zeke running the ball. The Cowboys, 200-yard rushers in the game. Zeke didn't even have the most yards rushing. What was your main takeaway otherwise?
Well, I think what was so impressive was the domination early. By 2 minutes into the third quarter, RJ, you were 99% for Dallas to win and for you to cash your bet. How often do you see that, that halfway through a game, you're 99% sure to cash a bet? Although I might say, little tease, this weekend, 99% sure did not always come in.
Well, you know, that might be a good time to do that now. We'll call a little audible, and let's shift to that. Now, Rams, you know, just wrapping that up, and then we'll shift quickly to the maybe the worst beat of the year. Whew. We don't do a lot of bad beat talk, like the first quarter line in this Division II college game. You know, it doesn't interest me all that much. But, man, when it is an NFL game, I guess what interests me is when I can relate to it. When I can envision me being on the other side, that's when I start feeling the pain for real, right? It's like on TV, if someone gets hit in the privates and it's a guy that gets hit, you always see guys go, girls don't seem, it doesn't bother them. They can't relate, right? Can't relate. And vice versa in some ways. The Rams are in an interesting spot. I liked that they got bold with Ramsey. I also think if we played this season over, I think the Rams are favored to make the playoffs. How much of it was the Super Bowl hangover? I don't know. How much of it is, quite frankly, Gurley, regardless of what people said, and we had it right here on Straight Out of Vegas, Gurley yards per attempt during this renaissance, this surge, I'm putting quotation marks in the air here, of what, 4 weeks or whatever it was supposed to be before this upcoming week or this most recent week's game, he was averaging less yards per carry than he was earlier in the year. So he was getting more carries. But a bunch of carries at 4.05 yards isn't necessarily all that special. And obviously he had like less than 2 yards a carry yesterday.
Yeah, so last five games for Gurley, only once has he eclipsed that 4 yards per rush, which is pretty much the NFL average.
That is something. And this year the average has drifted up a little, right?
Like 4.2, yeah.
Yeah, so think about that. This Gurley, the conversation was, oh, the renaissance, he's back. This is what we've been waiting on. Oh, the boy genius was stupid. He should have just run it to Gurley, dummy. Okay. And once in five games, he had even an average yards gain per carry. You don't win a lot of games running the ball and getting below average yards when you do. But most people are pretty stupid. Let's agree. And most media guys are not... I think they might be below average, to be honest, intelligence. I literally go to a gas station in Oklahoma. I feel better that you're going to get... like the mechanic, the guy that's smart enough to actually be a mechanic is going to be smarter than a lot of these media guys. And there's nothing wrong with not being smart. There's people smarter than me, in theory. It could be. Yeah. And the reality is, though, it's not about that. It's about how smart you think you are. Like, I don't know anything about heart surgery. How dumb would it be for me to go in and start acting like I'm doing heart surgery? Admit what you don't know. In the media, think about it. How many guys say, I just don't know much about that? You know, now, if it's some sport that they can kind of condescend to, like, I don't know about lacrosse, they'll admit that. But about something they're supposed to be covering, when do you hear the humility?
Hardly ever.
And to me, that's the time to learn, right? I don't know X's and O's very well. I just am voracious about consuming guys like Mike Lombardi and stuff. What are they saying about the Greg Cosell? What are they saying about the X's and O's? And I think when it comes to the Rams, you got to understand the salary cap. And I really don't, more humility, to understand I don't think that just missing the playoffs is this egregious thing. But I think they're in a situation with no first-round picks and some of the worst contracts in sports. And Goff is a front runner. When he's got everything going for him, he's fine, more than fine. When he's not, he doesn't fight and climb. And I don't know if it's mentality. I don't know what it is. I just know the results say Goff is much better from the front. So let's do this. When we come back, we're going to tell you, and this is objectively, I think, true, but Fez is going to put exact odds on it. In the game, San Francisco-Atlanta, on the total, was one of the worst beats, if not the worst beat for a better you'll ever see.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will talk about a bizarre start to one NFL game.
Oh, yes. This is a commentary, I think, on society. And in a way, I actually do. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to, and let's speak well of society, the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Up 150% just this year alone, Straight Outta Vegas, 5 days a week on those 200 FSR stations, foxsportsradio.com also, and the iHeartRadio app, and SiriusXM, and podcast. Just search RJ Bell. Right now on the Strip, it's 50 degrees and it feels cold, I can't lie, and the neon is chugging.
So RJ, we talked about the Cowboys' big win over the LA Rams, but things got started off with a little bit of controversy at the opening coin flip, where there was sort of a misunderstanding in which it appeared for at least a moment that Dak Prescott wanted the LA Rams to not only get the ball to start the game, but also have the ball to start the second half.
Yeah, so you have a choice, and I think this, we'll go through it quickly, but I think it is telling. You have a choice to decide. Do you want to decide if you want the ball or not? Not saying you want the ball or not. Do you want that decision, or do you want to decide which goal you defend, effectively which direction you'll go first? And in overtime, Belichick, one time when the wind was substantial, said, we'll take a choice on defending a certain goal, you know, direction, and then you can choose the ball, which obviously, if it's... If you're going to only get one choice and it's to take the ball or not, almost everyone but Tomlin would probably take the ball. Now, Tomlin would have some convoluted, hey, let's give him some credit, but he still has a lot of bad metagame decisions. Most of the time, you're going to take the ball, all things equal. So what ended up happening was that in the garbled phrase that came from Dak, the first thing he said that made any sense, I guess, or that was a word that's like a term of art that you would think, okay, that he's telling us something, was about defending a certain end of the field. Fez?
Yeah, I actually think he said, we're going to kick, is what he said.
Okay.
And then he made some other comments. He said, oh, we're going to defer, apparently, after saying we're going to kick.
Yeah. So Football Zebras, which is a website I happen to follow on Twitter, who, you know, there's people with experiences, refs, they said that, you know, you pointed out the rule and said, listen, the first thing you say that can be defined as this is the intent of what you want has to rule. Because otherwise, if it's the second thing you say, then how do you decide is it the first or the second? So under his theory, it was a huge mistake that Dallas ended up getting the ball that they said, oh, we know what you meant, effectively. You would never say, you know, I don't want the ball and I, you know, it didn't make sense. Okay, fine. It doesn't make sense if someone doesn't send in their taxes, but what happens, right? Doesn't make sense not looking left and right when you cross a busy intersection. What happens? Now, let's compare to the 1962. So, Faz, I think this was your first three-star lock, if I remember. In 1962, the AFL championship game, this almost exact thing happened. But it was only the second overtime ever. Stram was the coach. Remember the famous guy up in that? Hank Stram, I think.
Yeah, was his name? Matriculate.
Yeah, the Matriculate dude. And what happened was, since this overtime had never happened, he was very clear to his team, say this, say this. Ended up saying something similar, what was garbled. But the first thing they could hear was defend or defer or whatever it is. And they ended up not getting the ball. I mean, this literally was the championship game of the AFL. They made a mistake, and they said, huh, tough luck. Just like a kid crossing the street, look both ways, or there might be consequences. And you know what we say now? Ah, we knew what he meant. No big deal. Don't worry about the rules. You might say, but RJ, you knew the intent. What was justice? If you knew what Dak meant, what was justice? I think if this was the last football game ever played, I would agree with you. Let's try to get the right. It's almost like last day in college. You're not really worried. Last day in high school. You're not really worried about the next thing. You can let it be this thing, right? Or, Brad, if I remember, some stories I've heard about you is when you've had the last day at an apartment and you knew you weren't getting the security deposit back. Oh, now, that was some truth there that came out, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. That's yeah. Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. But there is another game. There's more games this weekend. And what precedent did we set? Did the league set? We're not going to go by the rules. We're going to go subjectively by what we think the righteous answer is. And you know something? One of the beauties of the legal system is when it's unfair. Now, that sounds crazy, but if it's unfair in a way that yields fairness to 1,000 other people, it might be the O.J. Simpson trial. A lot of people would say, oh, it was unfair he didn't get convicted. I believe O.J., if you would have said as a guy who literally makes a living at setting odds, we are the official odds maker for the Associated Press, 750 newspapers, 1,000 plus websites, pretty good at this, is I would have 100% without too much delay voted not guilty in the O.J. case. But if you ask me the odds of him doing it, I'd say 95%. That seems like a paradox. It's not. To convict someone of murder, of any serious crime, you got to be over 99%. So I can strongly believe he did it and still say not guilty, right? And you might say, well, that's not justice. Yeah, maybe. But if you let O.J. get put away back then in 95 or whatever, because we know what the right answer is, don't let the rules dictate. Well, where does that stop? And it's the same thing. Whatever political position you have, there's a lot of cases, Democrats, Republicans, if you do this, then they're going to do that when it's flipped, and then it's chaos. And to some degree, you think back to Nixon in 60. Nixon had, there were some real, and let's just say Illinois and Mayor Daley, there were some real questions, if you're a student of history, about JFK winning. Joe Kennedy had a ton of connections, let's just say that, Sam Giacona and such. And the reality is, Nixon said, listen, we start doing that, where does it end? Which is code for I had some shenanigans going on too. Al Gore, whatever you want to say about him, not a super popular guy even at the time, he eventually said, I concede in 2000. He could have kept fighting, but he said there's something bigger here. Even if he believed he was right, there's something bigger here. Politically, I'm not sure we're in that space anymore, and I think that could be problematic. But in the NFL, us saying, well, the rules don't matter, because the rules clearly state that what Dak said should have had the consequence of what we thought it was going to say. McVay literally spent the entire halftime thinking they were getting the ball. Now, how unfair is that? Because you're going to be very different if you're down X points and you're getting the ball, right? And then he's walking out. Oh, by the way, we know what Dak meant. Well, if you knew, you should at least told him before, right? So I think it's a sign that we don't want there to be consequences. We think we can rise above nature's consequences. It's just amazing in 62 in a championship game, you got to go by the rules. Not even the NFL, the AFL. And then, you know, 50 or 60 years later, yeah, we knew what he meant. And there was money at stake too, which is really why I care. Fez, let's talk about that halftime line, because if you think the Rams are getting the ball, you're going to handicap that very differently than if they're having to kick again or kick off. So with the assumption the betting marketplace had, everybody had, that the Rams were going to get the ball. What was the halftime line?
Yeah, so it opened.
Opening line.
Opening line was Rams minus -4.
All right, and then the money came pouring in where?
On the Rams.
Rams.
Up to minus -5.5.
Now, listen, we're talking probably, would we say $1 million worldwide?
Oh, yeah.
Now, think about that.
Wow.
You know, I don't know halftime betting as well as Fez, but let's say Fez is right. And then what happened?
Then word leaked that the Rams weren't going to get the ball, and the line went right back down to 4.
So in a weird way, as the NFL embraces sports betting, like we talk about with injuries, and it's probably the one thing I've pounded my fist on in 15 months of this show, which is if there's millions at stake, you got to treat it like the stock market, a betting market. This isn't your whims anymore. This is about people's money now. And you're making money from them betting. It's one thing if the people was betting on you without your permission and if you're not benefiting. You can't be responsible. Here, you're benefiting now. The league is benefiting directly from gambling, and they owe it to gamblers. It's not a dirty word. They owe it to gamblers to get things right. That's with injuries. That's with stuff like this. Whatever the case, if this was such a close call, if you read the press release where they reference some, well, in conjunction with the on-field officials, game management, now, it's not applicable. Go to Football Zebras and read this. He was very negative about this, and it made a ton of sense to me. But if it's so easy and clear, then let us know before halftime, right? There's no excuse for that. No excuse.
Well, RJ, we might have some excuses we've got to make here on Fox Sports Radio for what the hell happened at the end of the Falcons and the 49ers game, in which it looked like the under was about to hit, and then all of a sudden there was a kickoff, some laterals, and the next thing you know, a bad beat, an historic bad beat in the Bay Area.
Yeah, bad might not be bad, you know, the baddest of the beats. I mean, wow. And I asked Fez, because one of the fun things we're going to start doing, and we've never really done this before, is really show Fez's and to some degree my ability to put prices on things and even like unusual things. Like one of the things I did a couple years ago, I had so much fun with it. The USA Today asked me to put odds on which Monopoly piece was going to be retired and then what the new piece would be. This has been like maybe 4 years ago. I spent like 10 hours reading, looking at various polls over, you know, consumer type feedback. Oh, I hate the thimble. I mean, I love it. So we'll have some fun with this. So as Jonas said, though, I don't know if I don't feel any personal responsibility about this. It was like Fox Sports Radio somehow influenced things. I don't know. That'd be wild, wouldn't it? If you could influence things. Oh, I'd have a conflict of interest for sure there.
He was the baddest cat around until I showed up.
So what happened here with this baddest of the bad beats, Fez, the over-under was what?
49.
Okay. And with 5 seconds left in the game, no chance of overtime, right?
Right.
There was over a touchdown to give.
Yeah. They had 39 points.
Okay. So literally 10 points to give. A lot of people had even 39 or 49.5, so even more, you know, somehow a touchdown, a field goal wouldn't have even done it for most people. How do you lose? I mean, like, think about it. At that point, if little Johnny said, Daddy Fez, how do I lose?
Don't worry about it, Johnny. You can't lose here. Go ahead and move on to the next game.
This is what you call a lock. Now get back to doing that data entry, is what you would have said, right?
Yes.
I mean, I can't pay anyone to do this. You're learning. Belichick said you got to learn in the trenches. And then, boom, touchdown. It was called one way on the field, went up, tight call, touchdown.
Exactly right. So initially they say no touchdown. Oh, final score is 22-17. And then, oh, upon further review, they're going to give Atlanta the touchdown. It's going to be a 23-22 final. Oh, but RJ, let's take a look at the play clock. As it turns out, let's put 2 seconds back on the clock as well.
Daddy, should we be concerned?
No. We still got a 99% chance here to win.
And then, you know, lateral, fumble, touchdown. Oh, no big deal. I mean, this line got bet up, right?
Yeah, I saw 48, and then, like you said, it closed 49-49.5.
And I think it opened 46, like the early night. So by far, more people lost. Think about that. If I told you, Jonas, and again, you know batting. I mean, not necessarily in a winning way,
yeah,
but
I'm
you
not
bat.
Good at it. Yeah, I know how to
exactly.
lose.
Exactly. But yeah. you, if anything, you're the great prototype of the average batter.
Yes.
And if I were to tell you, okay, here we are, there's 5 seconds left, there's got to be 2 touchdowns to lose, like, what would you put the odds on it?
Oh, God. Impossible. Like, there's no
almost
way.
Impossible.
Yeah, almost impossible.
Because they got to score on the first play. Because if they don't score on the first play with 5 seconds left, they don't have time even for the kickoff.
And they got to score quick, so there's still time on the clock.
So you're saying even with 5 seconds, even if they score in one play, it could be more than 5 seconds.
Yes.
Well, that's a good point. So, Fez, what odds did you put on it?
I came up with 0.6% as my final number. So, it's like
200 to 1.
It's like hitting a one-outer on...
Now, we don't need any analogies. 200 to 1.
Yes.
200 to 1. I think that seems cheap. You're not booking this, you know. I mean, you can give a fair number.
It might even be higher.
I would go a little higher than that. Because how many times out of the kickoffs do they actually return it for a touchdown? Where when you're trying to do the right. laterals, I mean, that's rare, rare, rare. Then you add in, you got to score. Then you add in, you got to score quick to even get a chance for that. Ooh. Ooh.
And it was also kind of a tease because on pregame.com, the point total opened at 45.5.
Yeah.
When it was 23-22, they could have kicked the extra point or gone for two. They took a knee. So if you had the over right there of 45.5, you thought you were going to lose because they played it safe to take a knee, and
Ooh.
You ended up hitting on the kickoff. So roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, my God. And you know something? In a way, that's one of the reasons people love batting. You might say, wait a minute, are they masochistic? Do they like pain? No, it kind of replicates life. Think about it. Life, how often you get so excited that you're screaming and whooping it up. But as a batter, you do. You go to a sports book, you hear they got $30 on the game. And how often do you feel like you can't think of anything else but losing? And the beauty of it is 2 days later, you never think about it again. But in life, when you feel that much emotion, it's rare when it's so high. And it's usually much, much more long-lasting if you get that low. And we do like to get high, you know, excited and low. It sounds weird, but there's something about that that tells us like there's this truth in our soul that we want to feel it, but we don't want to necessarily live it for real because we've all probably lived it at least a little bit and you don't want to necessarily go back. In just 1 minute, we're going to tell you another bad beat that some people think was even worse. I disagree. Some people think it was worse.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a closer look at Monday Night Football. I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're talking Monday Night Football. We're going to give you at least one pick on the game. And we're going to tell you the bad beat that some people think is worse than that 200-1 shot in the San Francisco total.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. So the bad beat theme continues here on Straight Out of Vegas. And we had another one outside of the Falcons 49ers and the total, RJ, another bad beat in the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah, so the Falcons 49ers total, we estimate it going over was about 200-1 against. 200-1. Pain. Fez, he came in and goes, I think we know, be honest, Brad. He comes in and goes, I think we know the lead today. Because, you know, it's like, you see that bad beat in my Washington pick?
Yep.
All right, you got 45 seconds.
So I got Washington plus the points. Washington is covering the entire game, all 59 minutes and 55 seconds.
Do they pay any of that off?
No, they don't, RJ. It's the final play of the game. Washington is covering. They got the ball at midfield.
Oh, they're covering.
They trail by four. And Haskins knows he's got to make something happen. So he's about to get sacked, and he just goes ahead and chucks the ball backwards because it keeps the game alive. Philadelphia Eagle recovers. He's got to go 50 yards to beat me.
50 yards, so like 5 seconds of running unencumbered.
Scoop and score. All the linemen chased him half-heartedly. They didn't get him. Touchdown, Eagles.
So really, if you had to explain the bad beat, how much time was left?
Last play of the game.
All right. I didn't ask that. How much
time
was left?
10 seconds.
So it could have been a couple plays. There was two plays in the
season. Could have been.
Could have been three even.
Could have been.
So one of the potentially three final plays, there's a turnover return for a touchdown.
Yep.
I mean, that's bad. But that happens what? At least once a week in college? You know, if you have like 60 games?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what odds are you putting on
this? We estimated at 1% because they were already—
Who's we? Who's we
collectively? Brad and I, because they were already at
Brad, how much did you have involved with this?
Yeah, were you involved? I was involved, all 1%. Right.
Because, you know, Fez often uses the royal we.
Yeah.
It's him, his various personalities, his personas. Exactly. 1%.
1%.
You do know you took a bad number, right?
I know.
See,
that wasn't mentioned, though.
Yeah, nature forces. That's the thing. Yeah. When you take bad numbers, I really believe the gambling god, and I'm not a superstitious guy.
Funny.
I do believe they find a way to teach you don't do that.
I agree.
Don't do that, Fez.
All right, guys, we're going to get to Monday Night Football coming up here in just one moment. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. It is the Saints hosting the Colts on Monday Night Football. New Orleans is a 9-point favorite.
By the way, speaking of bad beats, if you haven't seen the original Gambler, James Caan, Santino Corleone, is playing a compulsive gambler. It was based upon the Dostoevsky novel, The Gambler. Ugh, as good as movies get. And there's a scene where he can only listen on radio, and he's listening, and he had 100 thou on the game. Yeah. Painful. What do you got tonight, Fez? You're going to give us a prop bet.
Yeah, so the prop bet's going to be Drew Brees. I'm going to go under 310 passing yards. How many pass yards is he going to have? We're going to go under, RJ. And the reason I like the under, we all saw that San Francisco game where it was a shootout and Brees threw for 349 yards. I think there's an overreaction in the betting markets because everyone saw that game of the year, how well Brees played. Well, he had to throw all game because of so many points being scored by both teams.
So what was his yards per attempt? Wasn't great in that game?
Oh, it was good.
Yeah. So it's really not about the volume in that case.
Well, but fair enough.
But what you're saying is, I can see what you're saying. He was super efficient and he had high volume. Thus, that jumbo number is causing people an emotional reaction.
Exactly right. And let's face it, being an 8.5-point favorite, New Orleans is, we would expect there's probably a lot more running in the second half from New Orleans. And because of that, Brees under 310 pass yards sure looks good to me.
So if you like the dog in this game, you're less inclined to play this.
Yes.
And it's so interesting with pass yards is the idea that Jameis Winston is leading the NFL in pass yards. And he's the only quarterback ever. Y.A. Tittle? No. George Blanda? No. None of the Sammy Baugh? No. What's that dude from the Lions? Blow or Blau?
Blau.
Blau? Nah. Two games in a row with 450 yards. Now, Drew Brees, coincidentally, did this during the playoffs. But the NFL looks at that differently. Two straight games. Imagine that. 450 yards in the playoffs. You think Brees is pretty much as healthy, like in any material way, has Brees' age affected him, the current form, meaning how good he is today? Are you concerned about his age?
Not at all, because his last four games, he has been absolutely stellar.
And if you had to have a lean on this game, not a like, a lean, what would it be?
I'm going to lean to the Colts because it looks like T.Y. Hilton's finally going to come back.
Yeah. Woo!
And New Orleans has injuries all over the field in this game.
Okay, so you're saying Saints have some non-big-name injuries, and it's a big number. Got to question the Colts' motivation. Mike Lombardi had an interesting point in this game. He says Drew Brees tears up soft zone defenses. Colts, a growing organization, I think they're doing it the right way, but they play a ton of zone. That makes me concerned about Fez's pick also, though I think there's so much value because it's such a jumbo number. I lean that way, but I do not love it.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio with a full recap of Monday Night Football and a look ahead to Week 16. You can also catch the show on the iHeartRadio app.